Take your Bibles this morning, please, and turn to the book of 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 5 this morning. We're going to read two verses this morning, verse 8 and 9 in 1 Peter chapter 5. Please stand to your feet this morning as you're finding your place in 1 Peter chapter 5. As we stand together in honor of the Word of God this morning as we read it. 1 Peter chapter 5. I'll give just a second to find it. Great verses. 1 Peter chapter 5. And beginning at verse 8. Be sober. Be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the word of God, and thank you for this warning. Thank you for our pastor now who will come and preach to us and help us. Father, so that we will not be victims. Now, God, speak to our hearts today. Help us to clear all our thoughts and the week coming out of our mind and get what you have for us today. And Father, if there's somebody in this room that does not know they're going to heaven when they die, God, I pray today they would settle that before they leave. In Christ's name, amen. You may be seated.
As you're being seated this morning, now allow me to make my 32-second cell phone warning speech. I'm preaching on the devil this morning. If your cell phone goes off during the service, the devil gonna get you. So please make sure it's turned off or to vibrate, and that way you will not have a visitation from Satan. Also ask you to sit very still and listen carefully for a few moments if you would. Please listen now. We have now for some weeks been preaching a series of messages on understanding God. We spent several weeks on that, hoping in some way to help us to get a better understanding of the God of heaven. Now, I believe the Lord would have us take a few messages and talk about the opposing team this morning. We're going to talk to you about the devil. A lot of people believe today that Satan is not real. Is the invention of religion, that he's an excuse for the things that go wrong in this world, et cetera, et cetera. Ladies and gentlemen, I can assure you this morning by the authority of the Word of God and just by personal experience, and the Bible is greater than my personal experience, but by the authority of the Word of God and personal experience, the devil is real. And he's not an entity, he is a person. I'm not talking about a human being now. I'm talking about somebody who is a supernatural being. We're going to take a few minutes this morning. We won't be able to chase all of the scriptures. I'll give you some scriptures you can read later and get more background, and I'm going to explain some things to you, and then we'll look at some matters in particular in the Word of God today. But from 1 Peter 5 and verse number 8 that we read this morning, the Bible says to be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Now think with me for just a moment in that descriptive language concerning the devil. Doesn't sound like a pet. Doesn't sound like a friend. Where we'd announce at the end of the service this morning, ladies and gentlemen, a mountain lion has been sighted in our parking lot. And we just wanted you to know that. You be careful walking to the car now. Y'all have a nice day. I believe we'd walk out of the building thinking a little differently than we walked in. I don't think anyone would just casually walk to their car. If you have a teenager, you'd probably hand the keys and say, go get the car, son. And either way, you win. But the truth is, we would be just a little bit nervous, I would say. Probably a little apprehensive about walking outside. We'd want to know, well, who's checking to make sure that he's not going to pounce on me when I walk out to my car. If we announced this morning that there was a roaring lion walking about in the parking lot, you and I would not walk to our cars the same way we came into this church building. Our eyes would be open. Our ears would be alert. We'd be watching carefully what we were doing. We would take extra steps of precaution. The Bible says we have an adversary, the devil, who just like a roaring lion is walking about seeking to devour people's lives. Now, ladies and gentlemen, he is a real person. I assure you of that this morning. I assure you that he is an individual that has to be dealt with in our lives. The Bible describes Satan in this way. He calls him Satan, Lucifer, the devil, a thief, a murderer, a dragon, the serpent, a liar, an adversary, a roaring lion, that he can transform himself into an angel of light, that he is the God, little g God, of this world. Kind of sounds like a description of Congress, but he's the little g God of this world. Forgive me. Now, all of those names, there is no name in the Bible given him, with the exception of the Bible telling us that he can be transformed into an angel of light. There is no descriptive name, no devil, dragon, serpent, lion, thief, murderer description in the Bible of the devil that is positive. Like he's a nice guy. Like, don't worry about it. He's the dude in the red suit with a pitchfork. And he's just this little person that runs around. And frankly, everything that tells us about the devil, everything about it, whether it's using mythological creatures like dragons or serpents or lions or thief or murderer, liar. And there's not one good description of the devil in the Bible. God does not want us to get an image of him that somehow or another that we can just coexist with him. There was a snake in this room this morning. I assure you, we would be more than cautious about where we put our feet and how we stood and sat. Everything about the devil screams to us from the Word of God that we need to understand this individual, this creature, this being known as Satan and Lucifer and the devil, that we need to understand that he is dangerous and that, as the Bible says in 1 Peter 5 and verse 8, he seeks to devour people, to tear up and destroy their lives. A vast majority of what we do in the ministry today is either prevent the work that Satan attempts to do or have to repair the damage that is done. Understand this about Satan this morning. He has power. He has supernatural abilities. He can give, now listen to this, he can give kingdoms and power to those who knowingly or unknowingly are willing or will be willing to allow him to do so. In Matthew chapter 4, Jesus begins his earthly ministry. He is baptized by John the... There we go. And that's free, that's on the sign. He was baptized by John the Baptist in Matthew chapter 3. Jesus was. He begins his earthly ministry. Immediately, Satan comes and tempts the Lord. Three temptations he brings to Christ. Jesus resists every one of them by using the Word of God. We'll come back to that in a minute. But one of the temptations that Satan offered to Jesus was this. He offered him the kingdoms of the world. He wasn't lying when Satan did that. He wasn't saying, I offer you the kingdoms of the world if you'll bow down and worship me. He was telling the truth. He had the power over those kingdoms. Remember now, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, the Bible says he is the God of this world. That doesn't mean the earth. World in the Bible, there's cosmos. It means the ordered arrangement and system of things that operate on this earth. And he's the God of that. That's little g God, but he is the deity of it. He has power. He has the ability. Listen to me. He can make you popular. He can make you rich. He can make you famous. He can give you a presidency. He can give you a kingdom. He can give you a world. He can give you an empire. He can give you a position. He can give you anything if you're willing to take the price tag that goes with what he offers. Pastor Johnson, you make him sound invincible. No, we'll talk about his defeat today. But I want you to understand this person that we're dealing with this morning. Satan has real power. He has real abilities. He can do supernatural things. The Bible even goes on to say that he can transform himself into an angel of light. And one of the messages we'll do on demons, we'll talk to you about where they come from. Demons are fallen angels. There are two hosts of angels today, those who work for Satan and those who work for God. But the Bible says Satan can transform himself. Transform means metamorphosis. He can literally alter his appearance to look like an angel of light coming down from God in heaven and do miraculous wonders. So people would say, well, I saw it. It was miraculous. And the Bible says even to deceive the very elect, that means God's people. Now, you understand this morning, this person, this individual known as Satan, is not somebody to be toyed with or played with. It's not a game. It's not funny. And what he does and desires to do in people's lives and what he has been doing with people for 6,000 years is an absolute travesty of human justice today. Let's understand him this morning. Now, I'll not have you turn to the passage. I'll quote them for you or give you the references. You can look them up when you get home. In Isaiah chapter 14 and Ezekiel chapter 28, the Bible tells us where the devil comes from. He didn't start out as the devil. Initially, his name was Lucifer, which means son of the morning. He was a created being, an angel made by God, not as the devil. Made as Lucifer. And the Bible says he had the position of being the anointed cherub. That means he, above all the host of the angelic beings God has created, he had the most important position of all. He stood at the right hand of God in heaven. The Bible goes on to describe Lucifer as one who had the tabrets and pipes in his creation. Tabrets and pipes in the Bible are musical instruments. He was not only a beautiful angelic being, he was created as a musical being. He wasn't just musical, he was his body, his entity, his presence was that of music. That is still today his most powerful tool that he uses. Now listen this morning. Created as this anointed cherub, standing at the right hand of God, a position of power and a position of, he is the most beautiful of all the beings God had created at that time. Standing there in Isaiah chapter 14, the Bible says, he began to look around and he got the eye disease. Five times in Isaiah 14, Lucifer, standing at the right hand of God in heaven, a perfect place, a perfect being, begins to exalt and lift himself up. I will be like the Most High. I will ascend into the sides of the north. I. And there, ladies and gentlemen, in that moment, he, a perfect created angel, standing at the right hand of God in heaven, was transformed into the incarnate evil of this life and human race by one simple thing: pride. Now you look at me this morning. If we draw anything from this message today, get this simple principle. If pride can turn a perfect created angel into incarnate evil, what do you think it'll do to you and me, created, you and I today, fallen people with a sinful nature already? The Bible tells us in the book of Ezekiel that the sin of Sodom was not only homosexuality, the sin of Sodom was pride. And idleness and fullness of bread. That the Sodomites, their biggest sin of fault was their pride. Ladies and gentlemen, listen to me. Pride turned an angel into the devil. Now imagine what it does to people's lives today. That's why the Bible says pride goeth before a fall and a haughty spirit before destruction. You get the eye disease, you get self-centered, selfish, and stubborn against God. And I guarantee it'll transform you into doing things you would have never imagined in your life. He started out as a perfect angel. He started out as a created being. He started out made by God to stand at the right hand of God. He started out with this unbelievable opportunity. And because of his sin of pride, he transformed himself into no longer Lucifer, now Satan, devil, liar, thief, murderer, roaring lion, the old serpent, the dragon. He had to be cast out of heaven. In so doing, he took it with him in rebellion. A third of the angels in heaven that joined him. He actually led a host created by God in their perfection to rebel against their own God also. And for 6,000 plus years, ladies and gentlemen, that's been his program. Understanding his beginnings leads us to this matter of what is his plan. Satan today, ladies and gentlemen, after 6,000 years of taming the human race and doing the worst that he could do his best to destroy us, uses the plan of deception. You understand these creatures, serpent, lion, thief, murderer, all of them use deception as their cover. All of them. I'm always curious in those nature programs why those animals let the lions just walk right up to them and dwell in their presence and in their midst. But most of the time, lions are skulking about looking for opportunity. Serpents, snakes, thieves. You ever had a thief knock on your door and say, "Excuse me, I didn't want to bother you with this, but at 3 o'clock this morning I will be breaking into your house. And I just wanted to let you know so I didn't trip over any furniture. Could you leave a few lights on for me and put all the valuables out in the middle of the front room so I don't have to dig around looking for things?" They don't really leave calling cards. They don't normally announce their presence. Few people walk up to you and say, "Tomorrow 4 o'clock, I'm going to kill you." Most people don't really announce that. The whole thing about Satan as a lion, as a serpent, as a thief, as a murderer, is that they use deception in what they do. Satan rarely announces his intent. He rarely presents to you, "Here I am, I'm the devil, I'm coming after you." Now, ladies and gentlemen, since Satan is deceptive, we must understand that he has no desire to do good to us. But the Bible, now look at me, but the Bible tells us about the work of Satan. The Bible tells us what we can expect of him and from him. And the Bible, using the Word of God, my friend, is your protection to help to unveil, as it were, the work of Satan. Preachers like myself who tell people, "That's from the devil." People say, "Oh, who is he talking about? Oh, that's ridiculous." No, ladies and gentlemen, if the Bible says that this is a work of Satan, this is an operation of the devil, and it tells us that everything, listen, it's very simple. Everything that's good and right and holy and pure comes from God. Everything that isn't does not come from God. It comes from the devil. There's a source of one of two things. That's all there is to it. And I don't care what kind of face they put on it. I don't care what kind of clerical robes that they wear. I don't care what kind of pinnacle they have on their buildings. I don't care what they profess in their religion. The devil is a deceiver. And when people stand up and say, "Ladies and gentlemen, stay away from that. That's satanic," you must be careful. Because his intent is never to give. His intent is to take. You ever seen lions offer hay to the victims? Little anesthesia, right before I devour you. I don't want you to be in pain while I'm ripping your intestines out and chewing your face off. So I want to give you a little anesthesia to help you to relax before I murder you. Do you ever see them do that? You ever see murderers offer a person an equal weapon to fight with in the process? And we already have that Second Amendment. But anyway, the point is, you ever see that? You ever see them be fair? You ever see them be fair about this? Are thieves fair? Huh? They come and steal from you. Are they fair about what they do? No, he's like a roaring lion who walketh about seeking whom he may devour. We must uncover his deception so we can see it, and the Word of God uncovers his deception. That's why you must read your Bible. That's why you need to go to a Bible-preaching church that follows the Word of God. So you can have a Bible in your hand and go, that's not in the Bible. That's not scriptural. That's not right. That protects you from his deception. Satan's plan number two is duplication. Everything that God has made, Satan has created a counterfeit for it. Everything. You name it, whatever God has made, Satan is as a duplicate. He has something that looks close to it, similar to it. Satan has a counterfeit for roles for men and women. He has his own counterfeit. This idea, and you look at me this morning, I don't care whether this is politically correct or not, this idea of the blending of the genders, where women are like men and men are like women and everybody's equal and we're all the same and men are like men and women are like women and men are like women and women are like men. This whole blending of this stuff. And I covered this morning in Sunday school talking about marriage. I did not say inferior, superior. God made us differently. We are different. And in her creation, the woman was the crown of God's creation. She kept the beauty of what God had done. For her to be like a man is a step down that takes her from the place God made her to be. For a man to be like a woman, good night, don't you have to flip coins nowadays to figure out what some of these effeminate looking female males types are, whether it's a man or a woman or not. They want us to look alike. They want us to talk alike. They want us to act alike. They want us to think alike. Women don't think like men, and men don't think like women. He made us differently. But Satan's counterfeit is, I'll give you a role for a man or woman. So you sit there and let that stinking television tell you what a woman's supposed to be, what a man is supposed to be. That's a counterfeit. And I don't care how popular and well accepted it is in society. No. Male and female created he, them. He made us differently. Our distinctions need to be maintained. Satan has a counterfeit religion. Remember now, he's the God of this world. He has supernatural power. Hey, look here. You want to go to church and get a tingle or a buzz or a feeling or a motion or a vision or a sight or a thing or something or other? You don't think he won't produce that for you? You don't think he won't give it to you? You don't think he'll put a vision, an aberration up on a wall somewhere for somebody and it turns out to be rusty pipes leaking down the wall, but it's Jesus that looks like a waffle? Come on, people. They got hamburgers on YouTube that look like Jesus. None of my hamburgers ever looked like Jesus. They didn't last long enough to look like nothing, quite frankly. But don't you think he has a counterfeit religion? A religion that, look, hey, he'll throw a Jesus in there every now and then if that's okay. Remember, he's a powerful musical being now. Powerful musical being. Get some of these Christians in these churches with this world of music, try and get them off that stuff. It's like trying to get them off drugs. Because they're hooked on that stuff. Now, you look at me this morning. He's got a counterfeit for that. He's got his own Jesus. He's got his own everything. He's got his own spirit. He's got his own word. He's got his own Bible. He's got his own everything. And he'll produce that. If we just go by what we think, see, or feel, he's already got you. Well, it feels good to me. I like it. Get that sloppy agape BB spitting, barking like dog, clucking like chicken, flag waving Christianity that looks more like a circus than a church. Don't you think he'll be happy? And that's the popular stuff today. That's what's drawing more people to church, because they got what they got there, like they got it at Wind River, like they got it in Reno, like they got it at the nightclub, like they got it everywhere else. But that's not what God calls for. It's a counterfeit. People, don't you understand? He'll produce something that looks like the real thing. He has counterfeit music. He has a counterfeit message. He has a counterfeit spirit. He has a counterfeit education. He's got a counterfeit for everything. Satan is a master at duplicating things. All you have to do, the FBI that teaches our Treasury Department people about how to figure out what's counterfeit money and what's real. They don't spend a lot of time teaching them what counterfeit money looks like. You know what they teach them? They teach them what real money looks like, which is hard to find in Washington, D.C., but it's there. And can you imagine that? So they'll have them study a dollar bill until they understand what it looks like so clearly that when you put a counterfeit up next to it, you say, mm-mm, that's not the real thing. Charles Spurgeon used to say, you want to show how crooked a stick is? You lay a straight one next to it. Again, the Word of God is our answer. We follow what the Bible says, and the counterfeits stand out clearly. His plan is deception. His plan is duplication, and his plan is destruction. To destroy and to disrupt the plan of God is his plan. See, we think, well, the devil wants to destroy people's lives. His purpose in destroying lives is to disrupt the plan of God. It started back in the Garden of Eden. Man, woman, Adam, Eve, standing by the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Who's there? Satan. He comes in the form of a serpent. He puts a question in their mind about what God had told them, clearly told them to do or not to do. And they take of the fruit and they eat thereof. He's trying to disrupt the plan of God. Those two people cast out of the garden have sons, Cain, Abel. Those two boys who had never seen a primetime television program, had never seen murder of any kind. One of them rises up, Cain rises up and kills his brother Abel. And then we see a murder taking place. Satan tries to disrupt the plan of God, because God promised a seed through the children of Adam and Eve who would come and deliver them from the sin that Satan had brought into the garden and by their choice of rebellion. And from that time forward, Satan continually tries to disrupt the plan of God and destroy what God intended, which is this. In the very beginning, when God made man and woman and put them in a perfect place where they would have lived forever, sin came. Their choice too, by the way. But God sent a plan of redemption. And that from the seed of woman there would come one who would bruise the serpent's head and it would bruise his heel. And that from that day until this day, Satan has been in the business of destroying people's lives to try to continue to disrupt this plan. The plan of God to give us salvation. He tried it with no room in the inn, but Jesus still came. He tried it. Now listen, he tried it with the edict of Herod the king to destroy all children under the age of 3 in Bethlehem, but God had delivered him. He tried it even at the cross. He tried it the night before Jesus' crucifixion, when Jesus prayed with great sweat drops of blood pouring out in his agony, but prayed that God's will would be done in his life. And Jesus went to the cross, and when he died, Jesus Christ, ladies and gentlemen, brought forth salvation for us today. Wait a minute. You think Satan is going to stop there? No. Now he's got to disrupt the plan of getting the gospel out to people, telling them that Christ is the hope of salvation. So he begins to close doors in countries and around the world. But the simple idea of one person telling one person about salvation cannot be stopped. And it began to cover the four corners of this earth. So Satan attacks the Bible now, and he comes after the Word of God, and he tries to corrupt that Word of God. But God keeps his Word pure for us. Now we've got the Bible of the Month Club today with all these versions of Scripture, and they're all different but the same. Excuse me, if it's different, it's not the same. Something's wrong there. This church's position at the King James Bible for us today is the Word of God in the English language is an important position because it's not been tampered and it's not been tainted with. Given us in 1611, preserved by God for 300 plus years, and it still preaches a pure gospel and a pure Jesus and a pure hope of salvation. These modern versions are so good. How come the churches are so worldly that use them? They produce such a great Christian life. Why don't they understand their version of it so much more clearly and live so much more better, you know, so much better in their lives? Do you know why? Because it's still Satan disrupting the plan. He's a destroyer. See, ripping up people's lives, that's just the pleasure of the devil. He just enjoys doing that. But the point of ripping up somebody's life is to mess with your future, your children, your grandchildren. He wants you to alter your life so your kids don't get the life they could have had. He wants to rip up your future so those children who would come one day, even your grandchildren, wouldn't have a chance at things. Because he's a destroyer. He is a roaring lion who walketh about seeking whom he may devour. And now this morning, I want you to hold your place in 1 Peter 5. I want you to turn to Hebrews chapter 2 now, because I want to talk to you about his defeat. Pastor, you said he's supernatural. Yeah, but he's not a winner. Oh, no. He has lost and lost horribly. Look in Hebrews chapter 2 this morning. His defeat. Do you realize this supernatural being, ladies and gentlemen, this empowered creature who has supernatural little God-like powers, Hebrews chapter 2, little God-like powers, do you understand he has already been defeated? Conquered. Look at Hebrews 2:14. Now look at this carefully, please. The Bible says this, Hebrews chapter 2, and look at verse 14. For as much then as children are partakers of flesh and blood, he, and the he there of verse number 14 is Jesus from verse 9, he, Jesus, also himself, likewise took part of the same, that through death, he might destroy him that have the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Well, if it says he destroyed the devil, how come he's still working? The word destroy in the Bible means to render ineffective. When a person, look at me, when a person puts their faith and trust in the crucified, risen Son of God, Jesus, for their salvation, that power and authority Satan had over them before that is broken at the moment of salvation. That's why he tried to prevent everything from Adam and Eve down to history. He's trying to disrupt the plan of God because redemption would bring about his ultimate defeat. When Jesus cried from the cross, "It is finished." It's telestai. It means price is paid, price paid, price accepted. Victory has been given because Jesus Christ, but through death, Jesus conquered the devil. When a person accepts Jesus Christ as their Savior, my friend, the power of Satan over their life is broken. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. That's what America needs. America needs salvation through the blood of Jesus Christ. That's America's great need today. regardless of what they do in halls of political places, regardless of what we have in leaders, good, bad, or indifferent, mostly bad, regardless of all of that, we think somehow or another, boy, if we could just get people to feeling better about themselves. That's satanic junk. Your self-image is not what you need. What you need is Jesus. That's what I need, is Jesus. Because Jesus makes us different. Jesus changes our life. Salvation is the answer. You see, Satan was rendered ineffective when Christ died on the cross. 3 days later, he rose from the dead, and the victory of the resurrection of Jesus Christ completed the defeat of Satan and his great power. See, we look at people's problems today and we say, boy, I'll tell you, Pastor Johnson, what they need is intense counseling. What they need is a good old-fashioned meet up with Jesus meeting is what they need. Because see, that renders the power of Satan in their life ineffective. And they don't belong to him anymore. Well, I don't belong to the devil, Pastor Johnson. Jesus said you did. In John chapter 8, until we get saved, the Bible, Jesus said, the devil is our father. That's rough, isn't it? Well, I don't worship the devil. Didn't say you had to. He didn't say you had to either. I don't worship my dad either, but I was born of my father. Didn't have a lot of choice in that. Right of birth. We're born into this world, we belong to the devil. We belong to him. We're his. But when a person trusts Christ as their Savior, they don't belong to him anymore. Now they belong to God. And we are all children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. I was in jail yesterday, preaching in the jail yesterday. And while I was done with the service, waiting for the guards to come and let me and the guys out of the classroom, one of the fellas said, he said, I got to tell you something. He said, a year and a half ago, I tried to steal diesel out of your buses. And he said, and I got the hose and I got the gas can and I filled it up. And he said, when I got done, I stood there with that 5 gallons of diesel in my hand, and I thought to myself, I shouldn't be stealing this gas from these guys. This is not right. He said, so I put the can down. He said, did you find it? I said, no, I don't recall that. I said, probably someone else came along and stole what you took out of the buses. But, and guess what? He told me that about a minute and a half after he had received Christ as his Savior in that service. And I prayed for those men at the end of the service. And I said, God bless them. Help these men to not be punks stealing gas out of our buses any longer now. And I'm locked in a room with these guys with no guard, by the way. Don't worry, there's only 10 of them. But the truth is, 11 of them actually. See that? Look at me. You really think the work of Satan, we can pass a law to make the devil go away? Huh? If you feel good about yourself, is that going to make you a better person? Make you more selfish? We already got enough people like that. But you trust Christ as your Savior, and you're different. And his control over you is not the same anymore. He's already been defeated. He was defeated at Calvary. Well, then why does he continue to have such power and influence? Because the unsaved, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, are blinded and cannot see that the thing they believe and embrace and follow comes from Satan himself. And for Christians, this is the saddest statement I'll make today. For Christians, the power of Satan has been broken, but they can very easily submit themselves to the bondage that they once knew by voluntary action. Bible says in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 1, stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with a yoke of bondage. Could you imagine someone set free who willingly turns around and says, but I think I prefer the bondage? It's like the children of Israel when they were delivered by the blood and came out of Egypt and crossed through the Red Sea and got out into the wilderness and ran into a little bit of problems. And what did they say? Oh, I wish we could go back by the flesh pots of Egypt. We had watermelon, we had cucumbers, we had leeks, we had barbecue chicken, that's in the Hebrew. We had all that stuff over there. Man, we could go back to where we, oh, it was so good in Egypt. In Egypt, there were slaves. In Egypt, they had no freedom. But they didn't like the roughness of the wilderness. They would prefer to be slaves sitting by flesh pots. And that's what's happening with a lot of Christians today. They're more willing to live by slavery of choice to Satan and his world and system. Love not the world, friend, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Back to 1 Peter 5:9, and we finished this morning. Look at this. After he tells us in 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary the devil is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. 1 Peter 5:8, look at verse 9. It says, whom resist steadfast in the faith. James 4:7, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Can you imagine putting a lion on the run this morning? Can you imagine a stomp of the foot and a serpent scurries out? Could you imagine just looking at a thief and he drops whatever he's trying to steal from you and turn around and run away? Could you imagine the defense and protection you would have from someone who'd come to take your life, but God preserved and protected you? Could you imagine that this morning, ladies and gentlemen, as a child of God? The consistency of your Christian life is your defense and your protection. Whom resist the devil? Whom resist steadfast in the faith? Doing what the Bible tells you to do. That's your defense and your protection. When I get outside the confines of what the Bible, that's right, it's confining. The Word of God confines me. It limits what I can do. It limits where I can go. It limits the way I can talk. It limits the way I think. It limits the way I act. It limits the way I look. It limits my friendships. It limits my relationships. It's limiting. Anyone who tells you that Christianity is freedom to do what you want is lying from the devil to get you enslaved. Galatians says they come in and spy out our liberty. And look at what we do and how we live. And they say, they don't need to be telling you how to live your life. You could just go figure it out on your own. Hogwash. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort. With all longsuffering and doctrine. We're supposed to tell people what the Bible says. We're supposed to tell them how to live because it's your protection. You walked along the streets before and seen those little fences with that little Chihuahua dog over there. Or the Pekingese, or one of those dogs that got the flat face on them, look like they've been chasing parked cars. You know what I'm talking about? And outside that fence is a pit bull. And he's just standing there looking at lunch. And that little dog is having a fit. Got a little red bow in its hair, and it's jumping up and down and yipping at that dog. Like it's going to tear it apart. Huh? And the pit bull's out there putting on the handkerchief and getting the fork and the knife out. Say, come on, shorty. You come out here, I'll make short work of you. And that's the Christian with the bow in their hair telling God, don't tell me how to live my life. Don't tell me what I can and can't do. I can do what I want. And Satan is out there putting a handkerchief around his neck and say, yeah, and I'll get your kids too. And I'll mess with your grandchildren. And I'll rip your church to pieces. And I'll tear this whole thing up if you just give me a chance. Because see, he's still the roaring lion who walketh about seeking whom he may devour. He only has influence over us when we allow him to do so. Say, who'd be dumb enough to do that? Good question. You resist steadfast in the faith. You follow the word of God and your consistency of your Christian life. That's what protects you. You wonder why, you Sunday morning Christians, you wonder why the devil just keeps tearing things up in your life. You're doing it your way instead of God's way. Stop that junk. Follow the word of God. Submit yourself, therefore, to God, James 4:7. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Don't go around making speeches. Just do what's right. One day at the jail, this gentleman who was up there gave a testimony about how he was an evangelist. Arrested for the cause of Christ. Actually, it was rape. Arrested for the cause of Christ. Dal Dean Stevens, and I'm an evangelist, and I'm here because of the cause of Christ. He was in the pod where guys are sexual perverts and stuff. And I said, really? He said, yes. He goes, I was at my girlfriend's house where I was living with her. And I was deciding, there was too many demons on the property, so I decided to cast the demons off the property. I started in the closet. That's where I would go. I started in the closet. And I began to say, Satan and demons of his minions, in the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to leave the property. And I cleansed the house, and I cleansed every room. And then I went out and cleansed the 2-acre property. And he goes, and that's how I protected my girlfriend with whom I was living. I said, Dal Dean, you missed one. He said, woo. I said, you? What are you doing living with your girlfriend? That's outside the word of God. You know, the truth of the matter is, people, we think we can just do our own thing and Satan's not going to eat our lunch. Are you crazy? I said he is powerful. I said he is supernatural. I said he can deceive us into believing he's like God himself. If we go by what we feel, see, or think, but if we follow the word of God and you submit your life to God, he'll run from you. He'll, listen, you put him so fast on the run, it won't even be funny. That doesn't make us something. That makes us protected by the God who loves us. Satan, my friend, is a powerful foe. But greater is he, that's Jesus, is it that is in you, than he, that's the devil, that is in the world. Let's stand to our feet, please, this morning.